Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pharrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out the bad seat, a broken head, bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad adders, bad taste, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. You know, I'm constantly getting injured playing ball. It's just unbelievable. It never ends. I'm just constantly raking up injuries and just never-ending assault on my body. And once again, over the weekend, the shattered thumb on a heavy smackdown by a defender crushing my thumb instantly in agony. Thumb blowing up, double the size of the other one. I knew right away that it was shot. I knew right away that it was over. I knew right away that I was doomed. I knew right away that I was going to have thumb problems for a month. Because thumbs and fingers never heal. They just keep giving you problems. If you like to crack your fingers and knuckles, they will not crack when you have injured, sprained, or broken fingers. So if you're a thumb popper or a knuckle popper and you jack your fingers or break them or sprain them, good luck cracking them for a couple months. It's not going to happen. So I was playing, and I was up against these really good players. These two brothers were playing against us. Very fast, very good players. One of them reminded me of Harden when he was with OKC, very young, without the beard. Back in those days, super fast, great moves, had massive hops. Going to the 10, scoring at will on everybody, and then defending with physicality and quickness. And then the other dude was just making J's off screens like no one's business. Every time he got around a screen, he got the ball and would pop and hit. And then I was playing with a really good team, and we were winning a lot. We were running the tables. We were 5-0 in terms of games won, and then we ran into them, and we ended up beating them in a great game. Midway through the game, this dude just chopped down on my hand when I had the ball because I was a lot bigger than him. And I was able to post him up and get position and kind of own the block. And then he knew he had to stop me because he couldn't stop my hook. He couldn't stop my finger roll off of the hook and just having reach on him. I had him by a foot, so I was able to do whatever I wanted down low. So he was trying to steal the ball from me. He was trying to get physical with me, and he was trying to steal the ball away from me and reach in and get the rock from me. And he slammed down on my thumb and absolutely just mangled it. I mean, to tell you, I went home, and this thing blew up like a balloon, and I can do nothing with it. I'm shot. I don't even know what's going to come of it. I know that it's bad. I'm in bad shape. I've been icing it literally for hours, and it doesn't even matter. Like, I have ice going right now, and it doesn't even change the fact that it's mangled. It's not getting better. There's no relief in the ice. And it just is going to be problematic for me for a while. I don't know what's going to happen. Usually I play every day on the weekends. And I play a lot. I play like 2.5-3 hours and just go at it. And I'm a scorer. I get the pill and I go to the hole. Or I shoot from outside anywhere NBA range. I can step up and fire from anywhere and hit. But now I got to deal with this. And it's affecting everything. Let's analyze the effects of the mangled thumb. Now I am left-handed. This is the left thumb. This is my service hand. In other words, everything I do, I use my left hand. I'm left-handed. I write with my left hand. There will be no writing with a mangled thumb. I don't know if it's broken or if it's deeply sprained. I know that it's twice the size of my other thumb. That's an indicator right there. That is a warning sign that I have a problem. It's like, warning. How else is it going to affect my day? Well, when I was at the gym after I played, I could not get off my clothes or socks. If you can't use your thumb, you can only use your fingers. And you don't realize how hard it is when you have a broken hand or broken fingers or a broken thumb or a deeply sprained thumb, whatever it is, when trying to use your hand. I couldn't get the shorts off of my body, and then getting the socks off of my body was a massive effort. I could not get the socks off. I wear two pairs of socks under my LeBron 17s, and it took me 10 minutes to get the socks off of my feet. People were looking at me and making fun of me, and they could tell that I was in agony, and I said I was in agony, and I was cussing. I cussed a lot in agony, and I was letting people know that I was having problems getting my clothes and socks off because my thumb was put in a wood chipper. Now, you get to the next phase of problems, which is showering. Cannot use your left hand and thumb when trying to shampoo or soap. Now, I put soap on my back with my left hand jacked behind my back, and I rotate it around in a circle, covering my entire back with the back of my thumb. That is no longer available. Thus, I cannot wash the back. That is a problem. Now will I have back odor? Can't have it. So I would squeeze soap at the top of my neck and hope that it goes down my back. And then I might have to have 34C or the Young Chopper soap my back when I go home because I could not use the back of my thumb. I did use my fingers, but it was a massive problem. It was nothing compared to when I went to the header. Trying to cable and then wipe without the use of your thumb is a massive issue. I could not do it. Luckily, I had a dry situation. It was not messy. I had a dry cable, and thus I did not need to overly wipe. So I was able to get through it with a couple of wipes with my fingers, but was not able to do an extensive wipe if I were to have to based on usage. If I had to use four or five wipes because it was a massive cable and it needed to be cleaned multiple times, I would be unable to get it done based on not having a thumb. This is a major issue. This issue will carry over into the mornings or whenever I have to brush my teeth. I cannot hold a toothbrush with a mangled thumb. I cannot use a toothbrush. I have to use it inside my fingers and I have to jam it in my mouth. Thus, my thumb is in the way and that is painful. When you cannot use your thumb at all and it's in the way, you almost want to cut it off. Now remember, I have had hand problems before with the exact same hand. My left hand was shattered, broken in five places. Several years ago, maybe 4-5 years tops, I don't even remember. Maybe it was three. All I know is I was in the championship game in the Lifetime Men's League, and my hand was crushed by a point guard who slammed down to try to steal the ball from me. And what happened? He broke my hand in five places. My fourth and fifth metacarpal and my ring finger and pinky all broken. I immediately knew there was a problem when my hand blew up like Elephant Boy. I had a gigantic hand and it was swollen immediately. I played the rest of the game with one hand because we didn't have a bench. We only had five players in the championship game, and we were the best team. But we were going to be upset in that game because I couldn't play and we didn't have a bench. And I was basically playing with one hand. I had 15-9 with a broken hand. I wrapped it in my jersey. I ran up and down the court in agony and played with one hand. When they threw me passes, I literally caught them with a palm ball and scored. I can play with my right hand because I shoot with my right hand. But my left hand was gone. I went to the hospital after the game, And I walked into the emergency room and I said, I think I broke my hand. And I held my hand up and it was the size of my head. And the nurse said, follow me. She took me in the back and then she gave me a shot of morphine, which was kick ass. I immediately asked her, she was around 70, if she wanted to make love to me because I was so high on the morphine. She said, yes, I will make love to you, but first you are going to bed. And I fell asleep. And when I woke up, my hand was in a gigantic cast and I had been operated on by a surgeon because my hand was so shattered, they had immediate surgery to fix the problem. So I woke up in a hospital bed and they said I had asked the old nurse if she wanted to make love to me. Not good. But I realized that I was screwed and had a massive broken hand. I was in the hospital for a couple of days and then eventually got out. When I got out, it took months to get my hand back to normal. Here's what happened. First of all, I wore the cast for 6 weeks, maybe eight. When I got the cast off, they made me go to PT. So I went to PT and this chick was my physical therapist and I started to see her for about three or four sessions. And on about the fourth session, I went in and she had me doing some stuff with my hand and she was working on some flexing of it and pressure to get it loose and bend it and see if it could stretch and move and get it loose and this and that. And then crack, it broke again. Heavens to Betsy, the agony. Humanity of it all. Oh, God, I think you broke my hand again. All I remember is I was in the doctor's office getting PT, and all I heard was, ah! And so I immediately realized that my broken hand had been broken again. Then I had to start all over. I had to go get the hand fixed again. I had to have the hand placed in a splint and another cast, and then I had to wear that damn thing for another 8 weeks. So I ended up spending about 16 weeks in casts. And then when that was over, I had to go through PT again, which I was really unwilling to do because the first time I did it, I had my hand broken again, so I didn't trust anybody. But then I had to wear this plastic cast, and I started going back to the gym after 5 months, and I started shooting with one hand. I started jacking threes, free throws, you name it, baseline shots, finger rolls, everything with one hand. I got pretty good at it too. And I was wearing this cast on my left hand, so I couldn't play or anything, but I could learn how to use it. And so I was catching the ball with the cast and my other hand. And then I was able to learn how to manipulate it, catch and shoot, catch and fire, catch, flick it over to the right hand, the shooting hand. Like your boy Jim Abbott. You remember him? He was great. Threw a no-hitter with the Bombers. So I did the transfer like Abbott, and I was just catch both hands, flick to the right hand, and jack the shot. I got lethal shooting with the one hand.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Eventually, after about 8 months, I started playing with the cast on, and I was able to manipulate the cast into a weapon. So in other words, I would go up for rebounds or go inside and try to bang with other players. And what I would do is I would take the bottom of the palm of the cast and jack people in the head with it. Going for a rebound, I'd crack them in the back of the head with right off their head, and then they'd be like, "What was that? Ow!" And I'd be like, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hit you. Crack. Didn't mean to hit you. Sorry, I'm so clumsy. Crack." And I started getting really good at cracking people in the head and then taking advantage of them, getting the ball. Then they felt sorry for me because I was playing with a cast and they didn't want to hurt me. So then I would get feel sorry space. And then once you give me space, I would drill a one-handed J in your face and steal your girlfriend. So I was able to learn how to play with one hand. Eventually, I got the cast off and I started playing back to my normal self, and I had a gigantic scar on my hand, which is there for the rest of my life, about 4 inches long, riding up from my ring finger outside of my hand on my left hand, and it's been a nightmare. So I never really had problems with it until this weekend when I got my thumb smashed. And I'm just lucky because the guy crushed my thumb instead of the outside of my hand where I broke it. Because I've never really felt like the thing healed right. I can't make a fist. My right hand, I can do a punch normal, completely closed. My left hand just closes with my pinky and ring finger still jacked out. And I just look weird. People look at it and go, "Wow, you can't really close your hand, huh?" I'm like, "No, I can't, but I can still drop 30 on your face and steal your girlfriend." So anyway, my hand's better. I got great handle. I can dribble. I can do everything with it, no problem. It's never really been the same. I get arthritis in the cold, dead of winter, and it's always stiff and a problem, which sucks. I don't really think they did a good job operating on it, to be honest with you. I think after it broke a second time, it was never the same. But now this guy crushes my thumb, and that's on the inside of your hand. Obviously, your thumb on the inside. The outside is where I broke it on 4th and 5th metacarpal. But on the inside now, my thumb is ravaged. So that's become a massive problem for me. But at least on the bright side, I didn't break my hand again, which would have just absolutely been devastating and would have sucked ass if I had to do that all over again. I was bummed out. The guy's a really cool dude and a really good player, and I didn't say anything to him, but he knew that he had damaged my hand. He knew I was in trouble and had a problem because I was in agony and I was clutching my hand and I had to stop the game and I was literally seeing red and my eyes were watering. It hurt so bad. I was bent over and I had to shake my hand off for about 2 or 3 minutes and it just never got better. It never showed any signs of relief at all. I had so much adrenaline. I kept playing and we won the game. It didn't matter. He actually hacked down on me again and tried to steal the ball. This time he crushed my arm and cranked me. That didn't hurt though, luckily. But he was just continuously trying to swat at the ball and steal it from me, and it didn't work. We beat him, but he definitely did damage to me and ruined, obviously, my hand and ruined my weekend because I was in agony and it just got worse by the minute as the day went on. So that sucked. And now I got to deal with the lingering effects of that. But I've had a million injuries. I remember in the first year I played, I was playing in a game and I had a breakaway from half court on a pass all alone. And I had an easy finger roll bucket, no problem. No one was even close to me, but this young kid, like maybe 21, he chased me down 100 miles an hour like an animal. And he was just obsessed with stopping me, even though there was no way he was going to stop me. I was going to score come hell or high water. And what does he do? He came 100 miles an hour and literally dove into the back of my legs and broke my kneecap. He was tossed from the game, tossed from the club, evicted, thrown out, not allowed to ever come back. Goodbye. Good night, Irene. Thanks for joining. Thanks for coming. Your membership is void. But meanwhile, there I was laying in a heap. I tried to get up and play. I tried to walk, but I had a clear problem. I thought I had blown out my MCL, ACL, whatever. I didn't know what it was. I tried to keep going. I tried to keep playing, but I was in agony and I couldn't run. So I had to come out of the game. Next thing you know, I go home. The next day I go to have an MRI done, obviously, because I couldn't walk. And sure enough, I broke my kneecap. My tibia plateau was broken. Can you imagine? That sucked. That took 6-8 weeks at least for it to get better. They don't do anything for a tibia plateau break. It's not like you wear a cast on your kneecap. It literally heals on its own. It takes 6 to 8 weeks, whatever. It took me about 8 weeks. After that, I had to wear a knee sleeve on my right knee for a year. So I played with a knee sleeve on, like a stiff knee brace, not a real big hunky one like NFL players wear, but like a tight sleeve, like one of those copper resistant sleeves, like Brett Favre sells on TV, one of those tight knees. I actually had to wear one of those every day that I played for at least a year to get over that injury. And then of course, I've had the thumb. I've broken every finger on both hands probably 3 or 4 times, literally every single finger. I've broken all 10 of them multiple times. Now the thumb gone again. I already know what I'm dealing with. It's going to take a month or two at least to get the thumb back to normal because they never heal. And then nothing tops that broken hand other than my rotator cuff injury. So I'm playing ball with Mafia and Sizzle and all these dudes from the Howard Stern channels. And we're having the Coppa Forella Classic, which was our annual basketball blowout day tournament out near the Forella Palatial. And we played in this outdoor basketball court near my crib, and it was a great day, beautiful in the fall, great, perfect weather, sunny, crisp, leaves falling. You could play, no problem. You were barely sweating because it was like 55 degrees and cookout, barbecue, tailgate weather, and everybody was loving life. We're playing blah, 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 blah. Next thing I know, I'm going for a loose ball, and I dive for this loose ball out of bounds, and I land 215 weight all on my right shoulder, and literally, I kid you not, my shoulder tore off of the bone, completely shredding my labrum and rotator cuff. It tore off the bone. I knew immediately I had a problem. I just absolutely yelped and screamed in pain. I was like, something's wrong. I don't know what I'm gonna do. Next thing I know, all these guys are calling me a wussy and a pee and a femme. Every name in the book, cussing me out. Get up. Let's go. How long are you going to lay there? Blah, blah, blah. And then finally I get up and they're like, just play. What's the problem? Meanwhile, my arm's hanging off. You can literally see it. My one arm is down to my shin, hanging from a thread, and my other one's at my waist. But the arm that I tore off was literally down to my shin, hanging, dangling like a tree branch that snapped in a tornado or hurricane. Next thing you know, I'm trying to play with one arm. I'm trying to play with my left hand and keep playing and defending and rebounding and running and gunning. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't shoot. I couldn't lift my arm at all. I thought it was broken. Literally, after taking all the abuse from everyone that I was this and that, a sissy and all the rest, I went home and I'm laying on my Steeler recliner, which is one of my great furniture pieces of all time. You know, I got the Penguin sofa, I got the Steeler recliners, and I had them in my Forella cave back in the old Forella Palatial. Now they're in my basement all in storage. It's absolutely embarrassing after I moved that I never got to use those again. But I had to sit in this chair and I couldn't lay down. I knew there was a problem. I was like, something's wrong. I was icing it. I tried everything. I wish I had morphine, Vicodin, Percocet. It just didn't matter what I took. Nothing was working. I was in agony no matter what I took. I'm drinking whiskey, whatever. It just wouldn't stop. I was throbbing. I was in agony. I knew I had a problem and I had to go to the hospital. So I go to the hospital eventually because I was just dying. And they told me after they did an MRI that I had completely tore my rotator cuff and labrum 5 inches each. Just literally ripped them in half. They're like, you need to have that redone, rebuilt, sewn, redone completely. You're going to have major reconstructive surgery on your shoulder and labrum. So I go in under the knife. Next thing I know, I come out. I got this gigantic brace on my shoulder, like a pitcher having Tommy John. There's nothing worse than rotator cuff surgery and labrum. I was in this gigantic contraption. It took me 9-10 months to handle this injury. Literally, when I finally got the sling off, I think after 4 months or something, I literally had to start from scratch with my hand down by my side. I could only move my arm probably 5 inches, 6 inches away from my waist. Just imagine trying to take your arm and swing it out toward the side like you were reaching out to completely go out like an airplane wing. I couldn't go more than 5 inches. I literally started by going 5 inches, and that was it. That was the first day of rehab and PT. 5 inches was all I accomplished. And even that, I was in agony. I was like, oh my God, I can't do it. They're like, you can do it. I'm like, I can't do it. They're like, you can do it. I'm like, shut up. Don't talk to me. I hate you. I will kill you. I will eat your children. And they're like, just do it. Don't be a wussy. I'm like, don't tell me about being a wussy. I will crush your dreams. And then eventually I would go 5 days a week to PT. And then after 6 weeks, I was like out to 15 inches. 10 weeks, I was out to 30 inches. And then after 3-4 months, I was all the way up like an airplane wing. And then after 7-8 months, I was up like I was raising my hand in class. And then after 9-10 months, probably, I could lift my arm up. So after 10 months, I could lift my arm over my head. After a year, I could swing my arm from 12 o'clock all the way back to 12 o'clock like a windmill. And it literally took me a year. I was out of commission for a year. I couldn't play basketball. I couldn't lift weights. I couldn't swim. I could do absolutely nothing, which sucked. The only thing I was able to do was go to ride on a treadmill or ride on a bike and do leg work. I could do absolutely nothing with my arms, and I couldn't lift any kind of weights at all unless it was lower body legs, squat, thrust, whatever, stuff like that with leg machines, leg presses. And then I'd ride bikes and I would run on the treadmill. And then I tried to watch what I ate, because if I didn't eat right, I would have become a fat ass completely because I was so unable to do anything. So I would just try to watch what I eat, and then I'd be on a treadmill for 3-4 miles at least every day. And then whenever I got a chance, I would walk the dog. And I could only use my left arm because my right arm was done and I couldn't do anything. So I just constantly was walking and then treadmilling and running and biking to stay somewhat in cardio health so I wouldn't end up completely losing everything that I had as a basketball player or becoming a fat ass, which was a problem.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
That was the worst injury ever. Eventually, I was able to start lifting weights. I started with like 5 pounds. Literally, that was what I worked out with, 5 pounds. And so when you don't work out or lift for a year and you don't have the use of your right arm and shoulder, trying to lift weights is almost impossible. It's like torture. So here I was, 5 pounds in each hand, 10 pounds total, trying to lift it even 6-10 inches was almost impossible. So eventually I was like 5 pounds, and then 10 pounds, and then 20 pounds, and then 30, 40, 50 by 10s, all the way up to 100 pounds. And it took me forever. It took like another year just to start being able to lift weights again and get strength in my shoulder. Eventually, I would do it. And eventually, I'd be able to lift. And eventually, I got back to normal. And eventually, I was able to do everything with the shoulder, which was a miracle. And eventually, I was able to start playing basketball again. I always worried about the shoulder, because if I reached the wrong way or blocked a shot or had anyone swat me or crush me or bang into my shoulder, I feared for my life, because I had 15 screws put into my shoulder to rebuild it. I still to this day have 15 gigantic hooks and screws in my shoulder to keep my shoulder intact. That's how badly I tore it off the bone, that it never would have healed on its own ever. It was always going to be rebuilt with steel and hooks and metal and screws. And it was crazy. I mean, the labrum they did a good job on. I didn't have as many screws up there on top of my shoulder, going from my shoulder blade to my neck, but it was the shoulder itself that had to be rebuilt. I kept the pictures of it. I literally kept all the pictures of it because they're so disgusting and gross and bizarre looking. I never saw like what your shoulder looks like on the bone, but I saw mine tore off the bone like a chicken wing at Thanksgiving. Just completely pull the wing off the bird and you can see what it did. It pulled my arm literally off the bone, and then they had to reattach it with these giant hooks and screws and rebuild it. I was like the $6 million man. They had to rebuild me from scratch. And to this day, I set off alarms at the airport. I've got everything in my body. Screws. I got 30 screws in my hand after I broke my hand. I got 15 giant, enormous hooks and screws in my shoulder. I'm like a walking electrical fire. I mean, I got it all going on in my body. I'm covered in screws and bolts and steel. In the dead of winter, when it's freezing cold outside, I feel like the Tin Man. I'm arthritic and stiff and always kind of sore and moving slow. I got to really get loose and stretch and, in not so many words, lube up before I play. I can play the game terrifically. I still have massive game for an old guy. I'm 54, but I can still fill it up with anyone in their 20s, 30s, 40s, no problem. I can still take on anybody. Mafia knows. I mean, he plays with me. He's a really good player. He knows what I can do, and that's just all there is to it. I love playing. I refuse to quit. I refuse to let injury stop me. I refuse to let broken fingers, broken thumbs, broken kneecaps, broken shoulders, torn labrum. I've literally hurt everything. I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg. My feet are a whole nother story. My feet have been probably the most disastrous thing ever. In terms of major injuries, you got the broken hand in 5 places, the shoulder, rotator, and labrum complete tears. Those were bad. Those were costly. Those were expensive. That was hundreds of thousands of dollars in surgeries and insurance and all the rest, and nightmares and PT and everything else. But I got to tell you, the one that brought me almost to my knees, not the tibia plateau break of my kneecap, none of that. It was plantar fascia. There is nothing worse than having plantar fascia, particularly if you are over 6'3" and over 200 some pounds and you have weight. Like Mafia's 6'5", 240. If he got plantar fascia bad with as big as he is, he would be a kitty. It brings you to your knees. It is no joke. You will suffer with plantar fascia. Having it on 1 foot is bad enough to drive you nuts. Having it on both feet is the worst thing ever. You almost want to cut your feet off. I know a guy that got double plantar fascia in both feet. You know what he did? He went to the podiatrist and had surgery and had both of his plantar fascias cut in half. Some people can have the surgery and go cut and snip their plantar fascias in half, and that's it. You never have the tendon again in your foot. You just slice it in half and that's the end of it, and you don't have that problem again. And it's very expensive. A lot of players prefer that because they don't want to deal with it again. I wasn't interested in the $100,000 plantar fascia surgeries. Each foot is done separately and it takes 10 weeks or something to recover from the surgery. You can't play for 10 weeks. Then you have the other foot done and that's another 10. So you're out 20 weeks. I mean, what is there, 52 weeks in a year? 20 weeks, you're off the shelf. You're done. You can't do anything. You can barely walk. You got to wear a boot. And then you got to wear that ugly boot to work. And then you got your jeans or sweatpants over the boot. And you look like an idiot. It's just a pain in the ass. So I chose not to have the surgery. And I had double plantar fascia. I mean, the worst plantar fascia you ever had in your life. And I had it in both feet, and then I had bone spurs in my heels, and I had what I like to refer to as marbles in the balls of my feet. There is nothing worse. Have you ever had it? Like you go somewhere and you're on vacation and you're walking and you're at the amusement park or at the beach or you're out to dinner or you're wherever and you got like a rock in your shoe and you step on it on like the ball of your foot and you're crippled over in agony and you have to stop what you're doing and take your shoe off and get the rock out of your shoe. Imagine not being able to take the rock out of your shoe because you feel as though you have a rock inside the ball of your foot. That's what it's like to have bone spurs. It's like having marbles in your feet. I had them in the balls of my feet, and I had them in the heels of my feet. I would sit at home at night after I played. I'll tell you why it's bad. When you play, it loosens up and you don't feel it as much. It's when you're done playing an hour after you played, they seize up and you're like, oh God, my feet hurt so bad. Oh, 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 I got marbles in my feet and I have giant rocks in my heels. Oh God, I can't even walk. I eventually decided that one thing I would do all the time is play, and then my feet would seize up afterwards. So what I would do is I would play, and then I would go sit in the hot tub and put a powerful jacuzzi jet on the ball of my foot, on the heel of my foot, and on the plantar fascia. And I would just sit there and jack each foot for 15 minutes, each foot, a half an hour in a hot tub. And it would seem to give me some kind of relief. But then you get out of the hot tub, you go get dressed, you start walking home, you go home, and then you're at home. And if you sit down at home, it seizes up. What happens is it feels like you have literally a Snickers bar of steel in your foot. Like your foot feels like you have steel in it, and you cannot bend your foot. You cannot put pressure on your foot. You cannot walk without feeling like a piece of steel inside your shoe, but it's actually inside your foot. And it'll drive you Calypso Bay nuts. It hurts so bad. I could literally not even walk in my house. Like if I wanted to go from my family room to the kitchen to get something to drink or eat, it was literally as though I was a 95-year-old man with a walker. I had to grab furniture. I had to grab the handles on the wall of the stairs, any kind of thing I could grab, chairs, sofas, anything at all, the wall. I'd grab anything I could just to take each step. Like I was literally a cripple, and every step I took was the worst step of my life. I used to go to work with Mafia, and when I sat in a car for 45 minutes in a car, my feet would seize up. We'd play in a game on like a Wednesday night, and the game was over. I was fine. By the time I got in the car and got to the city to do Pharrell on a Bench radio show, my feet had seized up, and Mafia like had to help me get out of the car. I couldn't even like get out of the car and walk. Not only that, my back would stiffen up sitting in the car. So I literally had to like, you know, have Mafia almost bend me back to normal because I was like crippled into a sitting position with crippled feet. And it was like up on Cripple Creek, she sees me. But I was suffering. It was awful. When I was at work, I couldn't even go to the kitchen to get drinks. I could barely go to the bathroom, which was 200 feet away from the studio. I could barely do anything. I would sit in there literally and do my show at night with gigantic bags of ice under my feet. I would get two big bags of ice, and I would sit and do my radio show for 4 hours. And for at least 2 hours, 2.5 hours of the four, I would sit there and freeze my feet with ice because I was in such agony. So I couldn't do anything. I couldn't walk. I couldn't go to the bathroom. I couldn't go to the kitchen. I would sit there and do my show and complain about how bad my feet hurt. And then people would say, why are you still playing basketball? And I'd be like, you know, it actually doesn't hurt when I play basketball. It hurts after I play basketball. Listen, I like playing basketball so much that I wasn't going to stop playing basketball for anything. Literally, I wasn't injuries, whatever. Now, some of them, the broken hand, the rotator, you got to stop. Broken kneecap, got to stop. But my feet hurt and I'm having plantar fascia and it affects me after I play. I was still willing to go play and then deal with the consequences of the agony after the fact every time. And this was going on for literally 2 years. So every single day, every single time I played for 2 years, I dealt with defeat. I put everything in my basketball shoes too. Dr. Scholl's inserts. I had these giant heel lifts. It looked like a giant bed or pillow in my shoe. So I had like a Dr. Scholl's heel pad, which was literally for if you had plantar fascia, they have these inserts that go in that keep your heel up in the air. And then I put another heel pad on top of that one. So I literally had like a pillow in my shoe from the middle of my foot to the back of my foot. I was wearing like 12s playing basketball. And I could fit it in there. I'm really an 11 and a half pure, but I play in 12s. I like the extra space because I wear two socks. So what I did was I just took one sock off, put all the padding in there, and then that, you know, took up the space that normally two socks would do. So I was down to one sock and all the pillow padding, and I was able to play. And then when I took my foot out of the shoe, I would literally seize up and I could barely walk. I turned into a 100-year-old every single time I played. So I was suffering like you can't even imagine with these feet. And it was every day. And Mavi's like, dude, just stop playing. And I'm like, no, I'm not stopping playing. I'll never stop playing. You tell me to stop playing, it makes me want to play more.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
So what I did was, instead of having the surgery, instead of quitting, instead of being a wuss bag like Kyrie, the wuss bag who never plays, I got the nodule rollers. Not only that, I got two different foot massagers. So it was incredible. The first one I got was this gigantic foot massager that squeezes your foot and has rollers on the bottom of it and a heater. High-end, expensive thing. And your foot goes into this machine and every few seconds it squeezes your foot like a massage, squeezes them tight, then lets it go, the pressure, and then the rollers go up and down from the ball of your foot to your heel, and it just goes up and down like two or three times, then squeezes your foot again, and the whole time it's heating your foot. So it's like going to get a pedicure times 1,000. It's like this foot crushing machine that massages your foot and rollers go underneath your foot and your feet are heated. And I would do this machine 50 to 100 times literally a week. And then I started getting relief. Then I bought another one and it kind of was a rolling foot massager. So my feet got rollers underneath them, and then literally my entire foot would go in a swivel from 12 o'clock to 12 o'clock. It would go around the clock, and your ankle moves and your foot gets rolled on from all angles, from the top of the ball of your foot to the right side of your foot, back of your foot, and insert inside of your foot, and it just keeps rolling around in circles. So I had two different machines, and they were both massaging me all the time, and it was fantastic, and it was showing signs of relief that I had never had. So I would do it every single day, 7 days a week, and I would do it in the morning, I would do it in the afternoon, and I would do it at night. And then when I'd come home from work sometimes at 3 a.m, I would do it again till 4 a.m. I would do it for an hour. The biggest problem was the worst time of the day was when you get out of bed in the morning. Literally, I only slept like 4 hours a day. I'd wake up and my feet seized up so bad at night. It was literally like having that piece of steel in my foot, like a bar. And then I could literally not even walk. If I took a step in the bedroom, out of bed, I would perhaps keel over and crash to the floor. I could not walk at all. I had to sit in bed with my feet on the floor and let them literally move and shake my feet and legs, like get the blood flowing from my top of my legs all the way to the bottom of my feet. Each leg I'd have to do for a minute or two, shake them, roll them, put my feet on the balls of my feet, go up and down, stretching them before I ever took a step, because I may have collapsed and fell over. And I mean, I'm big, 6'3", 215. I would have fell to the floor and smashed my head open or something. So I couldn't walk when I got out of bed. It was torture. It was the worst. So when I finally figured out I had to do that every morning, which sucked, I started doing it. And to this day, I still have problems. My first steps are always bad because of all my feet problems and injuries in basketball. I have to always stretch and I have to always shake my legs and feet before I start walking. But nowadays, I don't have the problems anymore with my feet. So I still do it because my first few steps are rough, because I play so much basketball and I work out so much and I have had a history of foot problems. So I always have to do it every day, still to this day. But the one thing I think that was the key to everything was the nodule rollers. My podiatrist said, get a ball, like a tennis ball, and just roll your feet on the ball all day when you get a chance. Just take a ball and just roll the ball of your foot back through your plantar fascia into your heel and just keep going up and down, rolling your foot back and forth like a seesaw. Just keep rolling them, keep rolling them. So what I did was, instead of a ball, because I tried the ball and it was like kind of candy ass, I figured, why not get a full weight looking nodule roller? You know, it looked like a dumbbell that you would do curls with. I got this nodule dumbbell looking thing, and it has nothing in it. It's very light. It's rubber, and it rolls on the ground. So I would put my foot on this thing, and I would crush these nodules on my foot, and they hurt like hell. They're like spikes. But I would grind out my plantar fascia. I would sit there for hours just rolling. I did it at work every night doing a radio show for 4 hours. I would crush my feet. I had two of them. And I would go back and forth grinding and just grinding and grinding and grinding my feet into these nodules to the point where my feet became calloused from it. And I got no pain. After a while, I was doing it, I was like, holy shack diesel, I think my feet are getting better. And I literally rolled out my plantar fascia like it was a tongue with bumps on it. And I got rid of all of them by just continuously cranking my feet on this nodule and on these rollers to the point where suddenly all of my plantar fascia problems started going away. I thought it was a miracle. I thought maybe, was it my shoes? Was it the hot tub? Was it this? Was it that? No, it was the nodule rolling. I was able to grind out the problem. And then I still had inflammation and bone spurs in my left heel. And every time I played, my left heel would hurt all the way in the back of my heel, always hurt, and it was always inflamed and swollen. So I just kept grinding it, and I was wearing that insert in my shoe, the left shoe, and I had the riser on it, the pillow, and I just kept wearing that and kept grinding. Every time I played, I'd take my shoe off, and I'd go home and grind and roll and grind and roll and grind and roll, and then kept doing the foot massager. And after a while, finally, by the grace of God, a miracle, the pain went away and the plantar fascia problems went away. Knock on wood. I mean, it took me 2.5 years to get rid of it. It was the worst injury, both feet, not one, both. Worst injury I ever had. I mean, made me cry in agony. Couldn't walk, couldn't do anything. I mean, just literally crippled and completely shut down. It was the worst thing ever. I would have rather had my kneecap broken. I would have rather had my hand broken in 5 places. I would have rather broken every one of my fingers 10 times. I would have rather had my rotator cuff shredded off the bone and my labrum torn in half. I would have rather had concussions. I would have rather had my back go out, a disc. I would have rather ruptured one. I mean, anything, literally, I've torn calves, I've torn hamstrings, I've torn groins. Nothing is worse than the plantar fascia, double plantar fascia. It'll bring a man to his knees. It'll make you a baby like a little puppy dog, like a little kitty. You'll cry to your mommy. Oh, God. Oh, mommy, I need something. I need milk. And cookies, chocolate cake. I don't eat chocolate cake. Chocolate's for girls. I only like vanilla cake. It's the best to have vanilla cake with frosting. But if you have bad feet, it doesn't matter. Because if your feet ache, you can't enjoy life. And you can't enjoy cake. And you can't enjoy ice cream. You can't even enjoy sex. Because when your feet hurt, you are worthless. You can get nothing done. There is nothing worse. I remember Jack Lambert. Turf toe, right? People said, what the hell? This guy doesn't play because of turf toe? Turf toe will ruin you. I've also broken my toe. When you break your toe, it will never heal. I broke my toe in the Caribbean playing basketball and flip-flops. It took 1.5 years for my toe to get back. So every time I played, my toe ached. And if you cannot drive and run off of your toes, you are worthless. Then you can't run. You cannot jump. You have no kickstart. You have no fast play. You have no drop step. You can do nothing. When your toe is broken, it gives out and you absolutely can do nothing. You are finished. So there are a million things that'll drive you nuts, but feet problems will bring a guy to his grave early. You can't play and not at a high level. You are worthless and weak and finished. And so I am telling you, take care of your feet if it's the last thing you do. You wonder why I got 50 million pairs of kick-ass basketball shoes? Because I play in high-end shoes because I'm looking for high-end foot support because I've had high-end foot problems. There is nothing I fear more than A, plantar fascia, B, tearing Achilles, C, blowing out a knee, and then any of those, you're finished, especially at my age. And I don't want to stop playing. Never retire, because chicks dig you if you can drop 30 a game and you got the finger roll like George Gervin and you can pop from anywhere and hit dagger Chauncey threes, baby. That's what I'm talking about. Pharrell loves to go to the rack and finish and score and win. And that's all I have to say today on Pharrell on a Bench. Shake that hoo. We'll see you on Coast to Coast every day at 4 to 6 Eastern and in-game live from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on Sports Grid Network. You can catch us on the Sports Grid app. Click Watch Live. We're on Pluto TV app. channel 517. We're on the Zumo TV app, channel 719, and the Watchster app, channel 352, and on YouTube. Check out the show, and of course, we're on all of it, airing on the radio side on the Fantasy Sports Radio app and Fantasy Sports Network app. And you know you can catch the podcast anywhere the podcasts are available. I'll see you. Have a great day. Shake head.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.